This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, so if you're running a business, or maybe you're deep in the marketing side of things, you have definitely heard that old SEO saying, content is king.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere.
And you've probably put in a ton of effort, maybe, you know, thousands of dollars, hundreds of hours, writing articles, guides, all those blog posts.
Yeah.
But then you check the analytics each month and the traffic's flat. Your Google rankings barely moved. And those qualified leads you actually need, still just a trickle.
Yeah.
It feels like all that work is just vanishing. Like it's falling into what the researchers we looked at called the abyss of unread blog posts. It's incredibly frustrating, right? You do all this work and you get basically zero ROI.
It is. And that frustration, it's totally warranted, because the real problem isn't just making content. It's about how you strategically structure it. Most companies, honestly, they fail because they sort of accidentally go to one extreme or the other. Either they write like a mile wide and an inch deep,
covering everything under the sun.
Right. Or they go an inch wide and a mile deep. Super focused, but maybe too much so. So that's really our mission for this deep dive. We want to help you master a strategic content balance strategy. We're aiming to resolve that core conflict, you know, between covering a ton of different topics as the breadth part, and really establishing yourself as the go-to expert on a few key things. That's the depth.
Yeah, and we're looking at a strategy that actually argues you don't have to choose. You can and probably should combine these two approaches for the biggest impact, not just for SEO points, but for building real authority with the people you want to reach. Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. What happens when businesses lean too hard one way or the other?
Well, let's start with content breadth. It sounds appealing, right? This is that classic cast a wide net idea. You try to cover basically everything, even slightly related to your industry. You're trying to pop up for every possible search query someone might type in.
Yeah, I totally get why businesses go for that. You want maximum visibility, attract a huge audience at the top of the funnel. You want to be everywhere your potential customer might be looking.
Exactly. But here's the big catch. Relying too much on just breadth, it creates what the research calls a shallow content library that lacks authority.
Ah, so lots of stuff, but none of it very deep.
Precisely. If you've got, say, 50 short articles, and each one just scratches the surface of a tiny piece of the puzzle, you end up looking more like a news feed than a real expert.
Mm.
And Google's algorithms, but maybe even more importantly, your actual high-value customers, they're looking for real expertise. Mm-hmm. They want experience, trustworthiness.
AT, right. Expertise, authoritativeness, trustworthiness.
That's the one. If they land on your site and see you've touched on 20 topics but haven't really nailed any of them, they're probably going to bounce. They'll go find that definitive guide somewhere else.
That's a really critical point. Just being seen doesn't mean people trust you. Okay, so what about the other side? Content depth. We're talking about those giant long-form guides, right?
Yeah.
The 8,000-word monsters, the pillar pages everyone talks about.
Yeah, exactly. And the intention behind depth is great. Your goal is to become the definitive resource on a specific subject. You want to show competence, build that undeniable authority. So if your main thing is, let's say, cybersecurity, your depth piece would cover everything. Risk assessment, implementation details, compliance stuff, the whole nine yards.
Okay, but hang on. If depth is what Google wants and what customers looking for real answers want, why is focusing only on depth also a risk? Isn't it better to be the undisputed expert on three things than just okay at 50?
It sounds safer, yeah. But then you hit a discovery issue.
Yeah.
The source material warns pretty clearly that if you go too deep without enough breadth to support it, you might be the world's leading expert in a couple of very specific niches, but you completely miss the wider audience, the people searching for related topics that aren't quite so specialized.
Okay, I think I see.
You might have the absolute best, most comprehensive guide ever written on advanced Kubernetes deployment, for example.
Right. Super niche, super deep.
But if you haven't also written those shorter, maybe more accessible cluster pieces around it, things like, what even is Kubernetes? Or quick guide to Kubernetes best practices. Well, then nobody actually finds your massive pillar page in the first place. You're essentially the smartest person in the room, but the door's locked and nobody knows you're in there.
Ah. Okay, the smartest person in a locked room. I like that. So the big takeaway here is pretty clear then. Neither extreme works well on its own for long-term growth.
Exactly.
Breadth gets you seen, but maybe not trusted. Depth gets you trusted, but maybe not seen. So the answer has to be structurally combining them somehow.
That is the absolute key. You need to stop thinking about content as just you know, a bunch of separate blog posts.
Yeah.
We need to start seeing it as an interconnected system,
yeah,
an architecture, a comprehensive content ecosystem.
Okay, now this is where it gets really strategic, I think. This structure, it starts with the foundation. Step one, you've got to define and build your pillar content. This is where that depth really lives.
Right. Pillar pages are your big, bold statements of expertise. They need to be incredibly detailed, authoritative, long-form guides. And they should be built around your core services or maybe the really big, complex problems that your business solves for people. Think of them like your flagship content assets.
Okay, let's make that concrete. Say a business offers like really specialized financial modeling services.
Okay.
Their pillar page shouldn't just define financial modeling. It needs to be something bigger, like the ultimate 2024 guide to financial modeling, from your first assumptions all the way to investor readiness, something like that.
Exactly. That's the scale. It has to cover everything.
Yeah.
The methods, the software choices, common mistakes people make, maybe regulatory things to watch out for. It's meant to be exhaustive. And function-wise, these pillars are what signal topical authority to Google. When Google sees one single page answering like 90% of the big questions about a topic, that screams expertise.
And structurally, that pillar page acts like the central hub for that whole topic on your site.
Right.
It should link out to other related, maybe more specific articles.
Yes, which leads us perfectly into the other essential half of this. Step two, developing the cluster content. This is how you bring back that necessary breadth and visibility we talked about.
So the pillar is the anchor. The clusters are the spokes or the supporting beams.
Yeah, good analogy. Cluster content is the fuel for the system. We're talking about lots of usually shorter, very targeted blog posts, maybe FAQs, even timely news reactions.
Mm-hmm.
They zoom in on specific subtopics mm-hmm. that are all related back to that main pillar. If the pillar page is like an 8,000-word book, mm-hmm. the clusters are like the individual chapters or maybe short essays exploring specific ideas from the book.
Okay, got it. And what's their main job?
Well, it's multifaceted, really.
Yeah.
First, they broaden your reach. Because they capture those really valuable long-tail keywords.
Ah, the super specific search term.
Exactly. The phrases people use when they're much further along in their research or buying process. They're not just searching financial modeling anymore. They're searching something specific, like how much does a financial model for a Series B funding round typically cost?
Right. That's a search from someone who knows what they need and is probably ready to talk business. High intent.
Super high intent. So the cluster content grabs that traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And second, it provides that constant stream of fresh content that keeps your site looking active and gives Google a reason to come back and crawl it often.
Makes sense. Keep things updated.
But here's the really crucial part. The mechanism that makes this whole structure so powerful, it's the internal linking. And it's not just about throwing links around.
It's about how they connect, right?
Yes. It's about creating a deliberate loop that channels authority.
Okay, so the pillars link out to the clusters when they need to provide more detail on a subtopic.
Correct.
But critically, those cluster pieces must link strongly and relevantly back to the main pillar page.
Yes. Think of it like building a nervous system for your website.
Yeah.
All the signals, all the authority flows back to that central brain, the pillar page.
Okay, that visual helps.
That dense interconnection is what signals to Google that you're not just a site with a random pile of articles. No, you are a comprehensive, highly organized resource on this topic. You're basically proving through your site's structure that you've covered this subject completely and methodically. And all that reinforcement from every single related cluster piece pointing back strengthens the pillar's ability to rank for those big, competitive main keywords. Because every cluster is essentially telling Google, hey, go look at the main guide over here. That's the real authority.
You know, the beauty of that is it works for the search engine and the human visitor at the same time.
Yes.
The potential client gets the deep dive when they need it from the pillar, but they also find you through all those niche questions answered in the clusters.
But, and this is important, this isn't a set it and forget it kind of deal.
Oh.
Which brings us to step three, ongoing implementation and auditing. This is the smart balance in practice.
Yeah, the research really hammers this home. It has to be an iterative process. If you're running the business or the marketing, you can't just build this structure and walk away. You have to keep checking it.
Constantly. You need to regularly audit your content library. Look for gaps. On both sides.
Okay, so what kinds of questions should you be asking?
Well, for depth, you ask. Are our main pillar pages still truly comprehensive? Has the industry changed? Do we need to add a whole new section on, I don't know, AI's impact on financial modeling?
Right, keeping the depth current.
And then for breadth, you look outwards. what important subtopics related to our core services are maybe competitors talking about that we haven't created a cluster piece for yet? Are there new long-tail keywords popping up that we should target?
So it's a constant cycle of updating the pillars and adding relevant clusters.
Precisely. Maintaining that balance.
So let's bring it back to the listener. For the marketing manager, the business owner listening right now, beyond just, you know, pleasing Google, why should they really care about building this kind of architecture? What's the real payoff?
Because fundamentally, this strategy is designed to stop you from wasting your marketing budget. Stop pouring money into content that just makes noise but doesn't actually bring in revenue. You shift from just sort of writing stuff to fill up a content calendar to actually building an organized, predictable system for generating qualified leads.
Okay, qualified leads. That's the key phrase. So this structure helps bring in the right kind of traffic.
Absolutely. Think about it. If someone reads your huge 8,000-word pillar on, say, cloud migration risk assessment.
Oh, okay.
And then they click through to read three of your related cluster articles about specific compliance issues in AWS or Azure.
Mm-hmm.
That person is no longer just some vague visitor.
No, they're clearly very interested and probably quite knowledgeable by that point.
Exactly. They're highly educated on the topic. They're validated because you've answered their specific questions.
Yeah.
And critically, they already see you as the expert before they even think about contacting sales.
That pre-sells them in a way.
In a big way.
Yeah.
So this robust content balance strategy, it makes every single piece of content work harder for you. It builds that deep trust, the authority, and it gets you found the visibility at the same time. And yes, that leads to better Google rankings, but crucially, it attracts that high intent, qualified traffic that actually converts into real leads and revenue. You move away from just looking at vague traffic reports that don't tell you much.
Okay, so that really is the blueprint then. You need authority, which comes from those deep pillar pages, and you combine it with visibility, which comes from the broader cluster content. Put them together systematically.
That's the winning formula. It's structured, and it can become predictable over time.
It makes a lot of sense.
You know, this whole structure, it brings up another interesting point, something that goes beyond just the SEO metrics.
Oh, what's that?
Well, if your goal isn't just getting clicks, but really showing that you have comprehensive expertise. Think about how a potential client feels when they land on your content.
Mm-hmm.
What's their experience? Do they just see a few random blog posts scattered around? Or do they encounter this fully networked ecosystem you've built, where basically every question they have seems to lead them to an even deeper, more authoritative answer from you?
Hmm. That's a really different perspective, the user experience of your content structure.
Exactly. Think about the psychological authority that kind of strategic architecture gives you. It silently communicates to the visitor that you're truly committed to solving their entire problem, not just scratching the surface with a quick tip. That level of prestige, commitment, and expertise, that's the kind of deep trust that turns casual browsers into long-term clients. And that feeling, that experience, that's definitely something worth mulling over and figuring out how to build in your own field right away.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.